Everybody, welcome to episode 343 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds. The local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. All right, we're going to talk some Ankeny Centennial boys soccer tonight. But right now, my first guest is a realtor at Legacy Realty, and it's nice to have her back on the podcast. She is Rhonda Dix. Rhonda, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, it's the first time that you've been on here in 2026. You know, so how's the new year treating you thus far?
Well, it's treating me pretty good. No complaints. But man, it's going fast. I can't believe, like I said, it's my first appearance for 2026. I feel like we're already halfway through the year.
Yeah, I can't believe it's tax day already.
I know. Taxes are paid, so no issues there.
Well, it's been about a year and a half now since you and a lot of the other agents made the transition over to Legacy. You know, is it just me or does it seem like that time has really flown by?
It really has, and we've seen incredible growth. I think the last time we talked was near year end, and we were, you know, growing agents daily, and the same, the announcements keep coming. So we have something good going on at Legacy and just a culture that represents a lot of great professionals working together to sell homes.
All right. And you're telling me off air that you guys have a couple of MJ property places that you're having some open houses coming up here?
We do. We're excited. We're ready to make the move over to Pine Lake Estates just south of Costco. And if you've been out driving around, you can see a lot of dirt moving and a lot of homes going up. So the excitement for that development is definitely there. We're getting ready for our first two market homes. We're a week away from our debut open house on one of those. Both of them are ranch plans offering just shy of 1900 on the main level. Both have finished basements offering four bedrooms, price point 625 to 700, which is great. A lot of the homes over there, even some of the market homes are starting at $1 million. So it's created around a 12 acre lake in the development. So there's going to be a lot of walking paths and it's really coming together nicely. So I think it'll be a great addition to Ankeny.
Now, both those open houses be like on the weekends or is there certain times when people can come?
We typically do our open houses on Sunday from 1 to 3. That's kind of our sweet spot. I mean, people are trained in the marketplace. Of course, you can call us at any time for a private showing. But again, we're just putting the final touches. Again, Mother Nature's not cooperating with some of our exterior stuff, but we're almost there. So again, just getting pictures taken and, you know, putting a few things together and yeah, excited to see what that looks like.
And you're also telling me off air that with all this rain that we've had, that actually the spring is a good time to show houses, isn't it?
It is. Believe it or not, there's a lot of discoveries that are made during this rainy season. We encourage sellers, you know, to be checking their basements, their sump pumps. A lot of times you might be in a water table area that you don't always hear that sump pump running. So it's a great reminder to, you know, you could bypass and test that just to make sure the battery is working. With excessive rain also, like I said, you can't hide things. I mean, you see gutters that are full, you see grading around homes that needs to be built up, you know, to get that water away from those foundations. So again, buyers that are looking at homes right now, like I said, you can pass the smell test. You can smell dampness that you can't hide.
All right. And just to finish up, you know, I've asked you before, but what's your phone number in case anybody wants to get a hold of you for any of those properties?
You bet. My phone number is 515-975-3735.
All right, Rhonda, thanks a lot for coming today. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017, is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right. Well, my next guest tonight is the longtime head coach of the Centennial Boys soccer team, and he has guided the Jaguars to an impressive 3-0 start this season. He is Brian Duax. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on your team's unbeaten start. Before we look ahead to your upcoming schedule, I want to recap the three wins that you guys have already posted. Now, your team was supposed to open the season with a pair of games at Iowa City West on April 3rd and 4th, but those games were canceled, you know, due to some bad weather, kind of like what we're having today. So when your team traveled to Waukee Northwest last Tuesday, you know, for your conference opener, you know, you guys didn't have the luxury of having a tune-up game or two to work some of the kinks out before you, you know, faced what is traditionally a very tough opponent. The Wolves, on the other hand, had already played a couple of games. So were you concerned at all that maybe, you know, your team wasn't ready for that level of competition? Or were you guys just so hungry to play somebody other than, you know, yourselves that you just wanted to get out there and see what this team could do?
I would say it's a combination of both. You know, the nerves going into that game, we thought we had something special. But you never know until you play somebody besides yourself. Did I think it was going to be as special as it was on that night? Maybe not, but it was a good result. It was a really good result. Came out very hungry, scored very early, and then kept scoring. It shows the potential that this group has.
Well, our team got off to a great start when your son Tate scored a goal about 90 seconds into the first half. You guys went on to build a 4-0 halftime lead and then cruise to a 5-0 victory, and that handed the Wolves their worst loss in program history. Now, I know you guys weren't playing for a state title or anything, but, you know, considering the way that your team dominated that game, it had to be one of the more satisfying regular season wins of your career.
Oh, absolutely. But you said it's a regular season win. Like, I want those performances come late May, early June. But, yeah, it was a great performance. Did I think we would handle them as well as we did? I thought there was a chance, but nobody beats Waukee Northwest that bad.
Yeah, it turned out to be a huge team effort for you guys. Tate finished with a goal and two assists. Lucas De La Cuba and Mason Goble each had a goal and assist. And Garrett Christensen scored the last two goals. And I'm sure that's what you love to see as a coach, you know, your team sharing the ball and spreading it around like that.
Absolutely. We've talked a lot to the boys about trying to find all five channels. Okay, so Tate, he draws a lot of attention, let's just be honest. But one of his best qualities is he's willing to share. He's selfless. If teams double him, he's got guys that can go finish now. And now it's pick your poison. Do you want to play him one-on-one, or do you want to double him and let him serve him up to the other guys who are scoring goals as well? It's tough to defend. It's really tough to defend.
Well, and Garrett told me for the Prep of the Week feature that this will be his final season of playing soccer because he can feel the toll that some of his injuries have taken on his body. But that's also the reason that he is pushing himself, you know, so hard this spring. Does it seem like Garrett and the rest of the seniors are really on a mission this season to make it something special?
I think they are. I think they are. I mean, just last night at training, we had to address the boys because it was getting so competitive, which is fantastic. But like I told them, there's a fine line between just being competitive and then crossing that line. I love that they're getting to be as competitive as they are and wanting to win at all costs. So yeah, senior laden group, probably my biggest senior laden group that I've ever had. You know, the only close one would have been Ty's senior year, but then Truckee graduated early and Braden Thiele graduated early. And you know, that took away from that group.
And then last weekend, your team went over to Council Bluffs and came away with a pair of victories. On Friday night, you guys rolled to a 5-1 win over a Lewis Central team that you said is really talented. And again, you guys really spread the ball around with five different players contributing goals. Tate had one of the goals and also picked up three assists. You know, and like you just mentioned there, he's done a great job of finding his teammates because, you know, he does just draw so much attention.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's what we're trying to do. We want to find all five channels of the field. If we find all five channels of the field, we're going to create a mismatch somewhere. And especially if teams are doubling Tate, it's going to create even more of a mismatch on the outside. So the other guys have been super opportunistic and finishing their chances, and it's hard to defend. When you've got to defend one really good player and seven other really good players as well, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then on a Saturday morning, you guys took a 2-0 halftime lead against Omaha Scott Catholic as Tate scored a pair of goals. But then you told me that your team ran out of gas in the second half. The Skyhawks were able to rally and tie the score, and the game eventually went to a shootout because under Nebraska rules, there has to be a winner. In the shootout, you guys made all six of your kicks, and you came away with the 3-2 win when Scott Catholic missed their final kick. And you told me that you guys, you know, hadn't even practiced doing a shootout, right?
No, absolutely not. The boys have asked me, and in Iowa rules, we don't need to work on them until postseason. So we haven't worked on PKs really at all. The Scott game, we were in complete control, and gas, complacency, you know, it was our own doing. We also just didn't finish chances. There were plenty of chances to be finished in that game that we just didn't put it away. And if you let a team hang around, that's what can happen. But, the boys battled through it. Got the victory 3-2, and here we go, moving on.
Well, we've talked a lot about what the guys in your attack have done, but we haven't said too much about your defense. Have you been pleased with the play of your back line and goalkeeper Sawyer Goble?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sawyer, you know, hasn't played goalie since he was 13, I do believe. And for him to step in and be charged with helping this team that has state title aspirations off to a good start, he's done really, really well considering all the things he's been up against. So, and then the back line has been unbelievable. You know, whether it's Ben, whether it's Mace, Marcus, Maddox, you know, I can keep going on, Zach. They've all bought into the concepts that we're trying to apply to them, and they've done really, really well. Like my assistant coach ran into Carlos after the game, and Carlos called our back line a brick wall. That's a pretty good compliment from a pretty good coach that's been around a long time.
Oh, for sure. Well, of course, Sawyer is one of two players on your team, along with Breck and Allen, who are also running track this spring. So both of those guys hustled back on Saturday to run in a race at the Jim Duncan Invitational. And Sawyer is a sophomore, but I noticed that he wasn't on your roster last year when Will Krieger was your primary goalkeeper. So is Sawyer just not out for the team soccer last year?
He didn't play last year. So, and to be honest, I don't know what made him come out this year. But, boy, we're sure happy that he did.
All right, well, let's look ahead now. You guys will host a non-conference game against a 3-2 Norwalk team on Thursday. That's a team that you beat last year, 1-0 at their place. You know, what do you know about this year's Norwalk team?
So Dustin Kralik has been there for a long time. He's a really good coach. He always has them very well-versed. They're very disciplined. They're very hard to break down. It will be a battle. It'll be a tough game. I think he's down probably a little bit in terms of talent from what he's been in years past. But he'll be super organized, very difficult to break down, very difficult to score against. So that's what we're expecting against Norwalk. And then turn around in high school soccer, you got to love it. We play Urbandale the following day.
Right. You'll play a Jayhawks team that is 2-2-1 overall, and they've gotten off to an uneven start, to say the least. They dropped the 2-0 decision to Southeast Polk early in April, but then rebounded a few days later with a 5-0 win over Dowling Catholic. After they tied Iowa City Liberty on Saturday, Urbandale suffered a 1-0 loss on Monday to the same Northwest team that you guys, you know, dominated last week. So which Urbandale team do you expect to show up?
Don't know. Which Centennial team do we expect to show up? Don't know. Urbandale, you know, defending champs for 3A. They return a lot of guys. You know, I know that they have their center back, Aiden Troja, who plays with Tate and a bunch of the guys on club. He's a stud. He's an absolute stud. I think their results are driven by unorganization in the back, meaning they played East. They scored 2 goals in the same minute. How does that even happen? And then they played Southeast Polk, who Jacob Lucy probably has them very well disciplined and organized in the back, and they struggled. And then they played Dowling, who's starting 9 freshmen and sophomores. That's tough. And they scored 5 goals on them. So I think if our back line is organized and does our game plan, I like our odds in both games.
All right. Well, we'll maybe know a lot more about the conference race by the end of the month. You guys will face Dowling, Ankeny, and then defending Class 4A state champion Valley in your following 3 games. So you should have a good idea of where your team stands after playing those 3 opponents. Valley probably had to be one of the preseason favorites, but the Tigers, you know, battled Dowling to a 0-0 tie on Friday, just, you know, a few days after the Maroons were beaten by Urbandale. So I'm not sure what you can take away from that. You know, along with you guys, Johnston has maybe had the most impressive start thus far. The Dragons are 2-0 in the league with a pair of 3-0 shutouts over Waukee and Southeast Polk. So how do you see the conference race unfolding this year? Is it too early to tell?
I'd say it's too early to tell. Valley is Valley. They did graduate 9 starters from last year, but they are the masters of the transfer portal. So I have no idea really who they have. I know they've courted some guys away from other schools. So, but then they just tied Southeast Polk last night as well. You know, the CIML, I've said it for years. It's a buzzsaw. It doesn't matter who it is. It's a buzzsaw. Like, you put any of our teams in the CIML over in the Iowa City Conference, they're competing to win it every year. And somebody's going to have to finish towards the bottom for us. And those teams would be really good in other conferences around the state.
Well, obviously, your team's ultimate goal is to get back to state where you haven't been since 2023. You know, I'm sure you feel like this team is more than capable of getting there.
Absolutely. This team is more than capable of getting there. But like I've told the boys, like I've told you, like I've told other coaches, if they show up and their attitude and their effort is as positive as it has been so far in the first 3 weeks, we're going to be tough. We're going to be really tough to beat.
Before I let you go, Coach, I wanted to ask you about a couple of the stars on that 2023 team, you know, including your son, Ty. He was one of the leaders of that squad, and he's gone on to play for Western Illinois while also seeing some action for the Des Moines Menace in the offseason. You know, has Western turned out to be a pretty good fit for him?
Yes. Western is the town is a little bit small, not a whole lot of things for them to do. The soccer has been really good. He's met his girlfriend down there and they're super happy. And, you know, Ty had the opportunity to go join Tate if he chose to at Northeastern. He decided that he was going to stay at Western because, like I told him, you can stay where you're proven and lead a team, or you can roll the dice and go somewhere unproven. And if you don't show, you may not be playing soccer anymore. They may send you home. So he decided to stay, and he's super happy about it. And then coaching changed down in Western Illinois. So Eric Johnson, who recruited me, that's how long he's been there.
Oh, wow.
Just resigned. So his son, Coton, has taken over, and the boys seem to be thriving under Coton. You know, Eric was old school and super militant, and Coton's a little bit more laid back and relates to him a little bit better. So I would say Ty's having a little bit more fun this year than he has in the previous year and a half.
Well, good. And then the other star of that team that you mentioned earlier, Truckee, Andrew Heckenlabel. Of course, he left Ankeny during his senior year to go play for the Minnesota United under-19 team before heading off to St. Louis, where this year he helped the Billikens to the Final Four of the NCAA tournament. You know, he's really off to a great start in his career, isn't he?
What an experience. Like, we went out to dinner with his parents the other night. What an experience for him, for that whole family. And absolutely. What most people don't realize is during that run, you know, that's a long time. So you go from playing for Minnesota, Minneapolis United, to St. Louis. You think you're going to be done in November. You never want to be done in November, but then all of a sudden you're playing all of November into December, into even January. That's a long grind of 8 months with no time off. Towards the end, he was battling a little bit of a groin issue.
Hmm.
To the point where he may not play for the Menace or anybody else this summer, just to allow himself some rest and recovery to get back to St. Louis next year. So, but what an unbelievable run by that team, and Truckee's done really well.
Yeah.
Really
well, good for him. Yeah. That was fun to follow. So, well, hey, Coach, thanks for joining me tonight, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks, sir.
You bet. All right, listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. MJ Properties is also a sponsor of the podcast and is the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic as well. We appreciate their support. Well, my final guest today is a senior forward and midfielder on the Centennial Boys team, and he leads the Jaguars with 4 goals and 5 assists. As a junior, he scored a team-high 10 goals and tied for the team lead in assists with 6, while helping Centennial to a 13-6 record, and he was named to the Class 4A All-State First Team by the Iowa High School Soccer Coaches Association. He is Tate Duex. Tate, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on the team's fast start and the role that you've played in the success thus far. You know, how surprised are you, if at all, by what this team has already accomplished?
I mean, you got to be a little surprised, especially from our previous years. We haven't made it to state. Our sophomore year, we had like we went like 5-12, wasn't very great. So you got to be a little surprised, but also with the amount of talent we have on the team, I was expecting this. So.
Well, we talked to your dad earlier about the mission that Garrett and the rest of the seniors are on, because for Garrett and some of the guys, this will be their final season of playing soccer. You, of course, are headed to Boston in the fall to play for Northeastern University, but this will be the final season that you'll get to play for your dad. So you can talk about what it's been like to play for your dad, and are you just trying to savor every moment, this season before it all comes to an end?
Yeah, I do think a lot of the seniors are on a mission because more than half of us are not doing anything for soccer in college. So I think a lot of us are trying to savor a lot of it, especially me. It's my last year with my dad, last year in my hometown. So we're really trying to make it something special.
Well, your dad talked about how hungry all you guys were to play somebody other than yourselves going into that game at Waukee Northwest. And then you got things started right away with that goal about 90 seconds in. What did that goal do for the team's confidence? And did you immediately think, you know, hey, maybe we can not only win this game, but maybe we could potentially dominate these guys?
Yeah, when I shot it and went upper left corner, I was like, all right, we're gonna kill these guys. And I think that was like the same mentality for the rest of the team. That first like 90 seconds, having a goal that early, it really like boosted the morale and everyone started getting going. So.
Well, then you guys followed with the two wins over in Council Bluffs. And I know that was a hectic weekend for a lot of the players because then you had to come back on Saturday night and have your prom. We don't need to recap those two games again, but is that fun when the team gets to spend the time, you know, together out of town and have some, bonding time together?
Yeah, the out of town trips everyone always looks forward to, especially like if you play, if you don't play, everyone loves them because you're there with your friends, you're out of town, like you don't have anyone telling you what to do, basically. So those few nights that were there are a lot of fun. And it was unfortunate that we weren't able to do it in Iowa City as well.
Did you guys do anything fun on Friday night, or were you just trying to get some rest at the hotel?
No, we were all kind of just chilling in the rooms, eating pizza, just trying to rest and recover until the next game. So.
Well, your dad mentioned how the team ran out of gas in that second half against Scott Catholic, and he also told me how he got you guys up at 6:30 in the morning to start getting ready for that game because it started at 8:30. Was it a little hard to get the body moving that early in the morning, you know, especially after playing the night before?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of the guys that played a lot of minutes were sore, tight. Playing less than 12 hours the next day is definitely takes a big toll on your body. But I was proud of the guys of how we battled through it and ended up getting the victory.
Well, you guys had to feel pretty good at halftime with that 2-0 lead over Scott Catholic. But could you just see the energy draining, you know, from the team in the second half? And can you talk about what it's like to play those back-to-back games, you know, and where you feel it the most? Does it just, you know, become that much harder to sprint down the field and kind of engage in those physical battles?
Yeah, the team, I definitely could tell that a lot of people were starting to die, basically. And it's those back-to-back games, they suck, but it's high school soccer, so you just got to battle through it and like stick together with one another and try and get the victory.
Well, the good news is that right now on your schedule, you guys will only have two more back-to-back situations this year. You have the one this week with Norwalk on Thursday and then Urbandale on Friday. And then in mid-May, you'll close out the regular season with another back-to-back against Des Moines Lincoln and Southeast Polk. Once you get into the postseason, of course, you know, barring some postponements or something, you know, you shouldn't have to deal with, you know, another back-to-back. So Tate, do you feel like this team is capable of not only getting to the state tournament, but, you know, potentially being able to go all the way?
Yeah, I think if we all stick together with one another and buy into what my dad and Darby are trying to teach us and all the game plans we have to do and we take care of our bodies, I 100% think we have the potential to win it all.
What would that mean to you to close out your career with a state championship, you know, especially being able to accomplish it, you know, along with your dad?
I mean, it would be amazing. It'd be the first Centennial boys team to win a state championship. And then I'd be doing it with all of my childhood friends and my dad. So it would definitely mean a lot.
Well, Tate, you've already had quite the soccer career, and you've definitely, you know, got a bright future ahead of you. Of course, you left Ankeny as a freshman in 2022 to join the Austin FC Academy under 15 squad. And I know you had some ups and downs during your time there before you returned to your hometown in 2024, and you joined the Jaguar squad midway through your sophomore season. When you look back now at your time in Austin, you know, what do you remember the most? Is it mostly the friendships that you made?
Yeah, for sure. I still have guys that are like sending me their grad invites, and I'm actually going to try and get down to a few of them this summer for them and just say hi to everyone before I go to Boston, because then I'm probably not going to see a lot of them. And even one of the guys I knew that was on the U17 team when I was on the U15 team is going to play with me in Boston. So.
Oh, cool. Well, I know you had to deal with some adversity, you know, during your time there. Do you think going through some of those, you know, tough times help you mature as a player, both on and off the field?
Yeah, 100%. I still look back on a lot of those moments that I was like not working hard enough, or like I was getting like my coach was like yelling at me, all that stuff. And I look back at it and I reflect on it a lot. And I think it's really helped me as a player. So.
Well, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about your future there at Northwestern. You know, I was trying to remember, what were the other schools that you looked at before you picked the Huskies?
So I first went on a visit to Northeastern. They were one of the first schools to reach out when they could. And then I went on a visit to William & Mary in Virginia, American University in D.C., Drake University, and then I didn't go on a visit, but I got an offer from Western Illinois as well. And the one thing that I really liked about the Huskies were the coach and obviously the city. I think the city is going to be a lot of fun, but the coach and the atmosphere he like showed me on the visit was definitely the deciding factor.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the coach. So do you feel like, you know, there's a good opportunity for you to step in and contribute right away?
Yeah, that's my hope. I think he has a lot of faith in me, and I just have to have a lot of faith in myself and do what he says. And I think I could play a lot as a freshman and hopefully help the team.
Well, your dad explained, you know, how Ty had the opportunity to maybe join you there at Northeastern. Were you disappointed maybe that he didn't make that choice?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks because would have loved to play with him again. But, I mean, I think staying at Western was the best fit for him, because he's going to be a leader there the next 2 years, and I think he'll do very well. So.
All right, Tate. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny. You're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for the dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny Centennial boys soccer coach Brian Duax and his son Tate. We also had a visit from Legacy Realtor Rhonda Dix. So I guess this was the Duaxes and Dix podcast. That wasn't planned, but has kind of a nice ring to it. But come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.